Commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in Cenchrea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and give her any help she may need from you, for she has been a great help to many people, including me. Phoebe has been a great help to many people, including me. A group of high school students in California spent 3 months preparing and planning to go down to Mexico during their Easter break to help the churches and the poor. And they had prayed that God would use them in a mighty way. And they were anticipating an exciting time away with their visit. And they set out to go. They had the address of the church in Mexico, a place called Mexicala. And they arrived there on Sunday morning. And the church they were going to had been badly burned. The roof had caved in, the four walls were still there. And as they cautiously made their way to go in, they heard a hymn being sung in Spanish. And the Mexican pastor and 9 members were holding a service. What was apparent, the letters the group had been sending had never been received. They were not expected. They were not prepared for. So here they are arriving in on this Sunday morning, and nobody knew they were coming. No plans had been made for them whatsoever. When the hymn, the song that they were singing, the hymn ended, the pastor asked, "¿Qué pasa?" You know, and the group took it to me, "What on earth are you rich white kids doing in our church?" And there was a long silence. And one of the students spoke, "Well, we're Christians. And we're here to serve. And we believe God told us to come here." And the pastor, tears came to his eyes, he began to cry. And he said, "6 months ago, people from the village burned down our church. And we have been praying day in and day out, week in and week out, that God would send help. And we'd given up hope that help was ever coming." The 30-odd students stood there stunned in silence. So many times they'd asked God, "What do you want us to do on this mission trip?" You see? And here they were experiencing at first hand that in this Mexicali church, they were God's answer to a pastor and these 9 members' prayer. And, well, the rest of the story is a long one. I won't tell it to you. We gave to Living Faith just a few weeks ago. Cliff Stolwick regularly takes teams down and so on. It's amazing. The Living Bible sets out Ephesians 2:10 like this. "It is God himself who has made us what we are and given us our lives from Jesus Christ. And long ago, he planned that we should spend those lives in helping others." Do you know that, church? Do you know that? before time began, before you became part of this church, God planned that this church, that you should spend your life helping others. What a plan. What a wonderful purpose. What an intention. We're not here just taking up space on this earth, consuming earth's resources, leaving a carbon footprint, creating an environmental problem, to use the jargon of the climate control people, by what we eat, by what we breathe, by our use or abuse of how we live and travel and work and play. It's not about what I manage, what I waste. God wants us to do something and to give something back to the world and the community where we live. God wants us to be the kind of people who make a difference, who spend their lives in helping others. So we're not saved by that. We're saved for that. Good works don't get you into the kingdom, but when you have trusted Jesus and you are his member, when by grace, earlier verses in Ephesians 2, when by grace you are saved through faith, and that's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. That dreadful moment at the cross we'll think about in just a couple of weeks' time, when Jesus paid the supreme price, when he took the blame, when he took our place, when he did for us what we could not do for ourselves, he paid for our sins. When he gave himself as a ransom, the writer of Hebrews puts it like this, he's able to save to the uttermost all who come to God by him. So he's able to forgive our sins, able to make us children of God, able to take us to heaven when we die, and able to make us what we should be for God's kingdom. I'm not saved just to enjoy it for myself, to sit comfortably at church. I am saved, I am blessed of God, just like those students discovered in Mexicala, that God wants to use us, and he will. And we can be the answer to someone's prayer when we get out of our comfort zone, when we commence to use the gifts that God has given us, and when we make a difference in our world. And in God's kingdom, and in God's kingdom plan, every one of us has a place, a purpose, a role, and a function to fulfill. We have an enormous debt because of what Jesus has done for us. Now we belong to him, so we can be useful in the service of God. Do you remember when Peter went home to his mother-in-law's, took Jesus along with him? There was his mother-in-law sick, lying on the bed, and there were lepers and Gentiles and women all around. And lepers, Gentiles, and women don't have a place, or didn't have a place then, in Jewish society. The Pharisees, many of the Pharisees, would pray every morning, "I give thanks that I am a man and not a woman, that I am a Jew and not a Gentile, that I'm a free man and not a slave." And there lies this woman, this mother-in-law, sick on her bed. And as they arrive just after the synagogue service, Peter and Andrew tell Jesus about her. It's doubtful if a Pharisee would have paid any attention at all, but Jesus healed her with just a touch. Do you know what was the response? She stood up, read in Matthew 8, she stood up and began to serve Jesus. begins straight away using this new gift of health and healing. And this became the blessing. Make no mistake about this, because I want to hammer something home. We will live for something. We will live for something, whether it's pursuing a career, whether it's a sport, whether it's a hobby, whether it's obtaining a position in life, whether it's getting to a place of prestige and significance and authority. But none of those things are going to last or have any significance in the ultimate. So it's not a question, can you spare the time? The heart of the Christian gospel message is simply this, that God wants you to fulfill his plan and help an awful lot of people you're going to rub shoulders with day in and day out. I tell you what I see in modern evangelical circles at the moment. People talk to me and I hear they're looking for a church and they say, I want you to meet my needs that will bless me. So often, that's where they will go. That's the reason they'll go there. Instead of saying, what can I be doing for God? So here I am with Phoebe. She was a Gentile. Didn't have to change her name when she was converted. Her name meant radiant, the shining one. And because of Jesus, that's what she became in reality. So why change your name when the kind of way you live and serve? Jesus changed her life, and Paul says she became a great help to so many of God's people. Can I show you three things? Here's the first. It meant helping the fellow believers in her own church. I think she held a position in the church. Kenkrea was a small seaport town about, I would give or take, 7 miles from Corinth. And it was here in Kenkrea that Phoebe lived and served the local church. Because it says she was a servant of the church. Now I take from that she'd been given some kind of official, specific ministry. Servant in the Greek language was diakonos, a deacon. Was she that? She was a servant of the church. Her main task? Look after the women. Help get the female converts ready for baptism. Visit the sick and the needy in their homes. Teach the women how to be good Christian wives and mothers. So absolutely fundamental and important when you think of the secluded kind of way in which women were treated. Service is about making yourself available for what's needed at that particular time. If you only serve when it's convenient to you, you're not serving. Serving means doing things that are inconvenient. We are most useful to God when we learn this principle. And one of the first things, because you've come to know the Savior, help folk in your church. Simple as that. You know, I marvel at Winston Churchill, you know, during World War II. He knew that many of the coal miners, my first pastor was with the coal miners. I watched the men go down in the pit and go down in the dark and come up in the dark in the winter months. I watched them with their streaked faces and their hands with the coal dust burned into their skin. I stood by their bedside when they couldn't breathe. And Churchill came to the rallies because many of the miners wanted to fight. They wanted to be in the army and they wanted to enlist, go to the front lines. And Churchill told them, you know, I admire your patriotism, but it would be more valuable if you stayed in the pits, if you stayed in the mines, rather than the army. Both of you will get equal credit. And when the children, in time to come, when this war is over, when the children and the children's children ask you, what did you do? Some will say, I was a fighter pilot. Some will say, I was a submariner. I'm quoting Churchill now. And you will say, with equal pride and equal right, we cut the coal. We were at the coal face. Go home today and read the whole of Romans 16. And there is a list of dedicated people who served the Lord. Phoebe, Andronicus, and whatever. There are two of us who stand here as pastors. One sits here as a musician. And many of you work in different ways in the church. And when we get to glory, you tell him, and you tell the grandkids, and then let them tell their children, we cut the coal. We cut the coal. We're at the coal face. So here's a lady who holds a position in the church, but a concern for people. The word helper here, she's a helper of many, could mean a patroness, a guardian. I don't know, but I would try and understand. Did she have some position in the port of Kenkrea? Was it that she helped the foreigners with their legal issue before the Roman officials? Whatever it was, it gave her the opportunity to witness for Jesus, to demonstrate the love of Christ to others. And Paul probably knew all the faults and weaknesses of the local church, but he was passionate about it. And about family. And no family is perfect. No church family is going to be perfect. So that's not an excuse to do nothing. That's not an excuse, in a way, to even drop out. Let the light shine in the local church. This church. You here. Are you Phoebe? Phoebe helped her fellow believers in her own church. And what else did it mean? It meant helping God's chosen leaders in the work of God. A great help to many, but a great help to me. Paul doesn't say how or what was the special contribution she made. I think it was Phoebe who carried the letter of Romans, the epistle of Romans, to the Roman churches. I tell you why. No woman could have dared to travel alone. It would have been too dangerous. But I think that Phoebe was just like Lydia at Philippi. Wealthy. So she would have servants. She would have, in effect, guards to go with her. The Roman government had a postal system, but only government officials and military personnel could use it. This letter of Romans was a treasure trove. It was a document of amazing significance. Paul had never been to the churches in Rome. And lies had been spread about him. If you read Romans 3, they are being slanderously reported. And this letter to Roman explained what he believed, what he taught. And the Epistle of Romans is the greatest single summary of Christian doctrine in the whole of your Bible. It explains the doctrines of sin and judgment, of justification by faith, of sanctification. How and where does Israel fit in to God's plan, Romans 9 through to 11, and so on. How should we live as Christians to the glory of God? And Phoebe was the one who delivered it. And you know what? This is the letter that has been used by God to change lives, to influence world events. Augustine, Martin Luther. That's how the Reformation took off, what he found in Romans. John Wesley, he read the commentary on Romans that Luther had written, and so on. And John Wesley says, when I read, my heart was strangely warmed. John Bunyan, and all that came out of his time in prison, the Pilgrim's Progress, and so on. I could go on and on and on. Phoebe helped Paul to get this letter, this epistle of Romans, out. Where would Paul have been without Barnabas, without Silas, without Priscilla and Aquila and Timothy and Titus and Phoebe? I tell you what we need is two pastors. We need helpers. We need helpers. No leader can do the work on his own. No leader can go it alone. Mother's Day, Mothering Sunday. You will have heard me use this text, not preached on it, but use it at funeral after funeral of ladies who have been a great help to me here in the 49 years that I've been here. That I need help as your pastor. Two things. So she helps fellow believers in her own church. She helps the chosen leaders in the work of God. And you know what? She helps people everywhere and anywhere. How do I get to that? Paul says this is a letter of recommendation to the believers in Rome. I commend to you our sister Phoebe. So important to the Christians then. The letter of recommendation that would identify people who were loyal, true. It would keep out the troublemakers and the heretics. And Paul has no hesitation about recommending Phoebe to the brothers and the sisters at Rome. Hey, I got a question. I asked it, stood in front of the mirror. I asked Dave Saunders this. Am I the kind of Christian others can recommend to their friends? You need to ask that. Are you the kind of believer that you can recommend to your friends. And Paul says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, receive her in the Lord. It's all about receiving one another. And Paul has got something to say about the conflicts over differences. In chapter 14 and verse 1, he calls them disputable matters. But the great thing about the commission that Jesus left us, that he wants us to grasp, that in heaven there will be an enormous crowd of people. And Revelation 7 says that they will be there from every race and tribe and language and people. Because God is in the business of changing the world. And he intends to establish his kingdom here on this earth. And he wants us to be part of the process that brings it about. And Jesus will supply us with the strength when we are weary. He will sympathize with us when we are hurting. He will shield us when we feel helpless. He will give us purpose when things seem aimless. And he will provide us with direction in our darkness. And he will comfort us in our loneliness. And he will sustain us in every task he asks us to perform. Because he wants us to be helpers in the kingdom plan. Some years ago, I tell you why this came to my mind. Obama's wife has written a book. Got a phenomenal sales going on. And she's coming to England. And if you want to hear her, it'll cost you £500 to have a seat at the O2 to listen to the former president's wife. Oof. I've ordered 20 seats. No. Don't ask me. But remember Jimmy Carter's wife, Rosalind Carter. And because I have Mark, I got behind what she wrote. And I kept this down to remind myself. Because her book was called Helping Yourself Help Others. And this is what Rosalind Carter wrote. This is the epitome, this is the whole thing of the book. You don't have to buy it now. I'm going to tell you what all the book is about. It's in four statements. She suggests that in our world, there are four kinds of people. Those who have been caregivers. Those who are now caregivers. And those who will be caregivers some time to come. And the fourth group of people, she says, those who will need caregivers. And I reckon when I wrote that down and kept it as a memory check, that about sums it all up. That sums it up. You may have been a caregiver. You may now be a caregiver. You may be going to be a caregiver. Or you may need a caregiver. I have something better than that. I turned to this book, to Galatians. Bear one another's burdens. Why? Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And what I love about you as the people of God, as church here, that you have learned to care with me all over these years about the people of God anywhere and everywhere, and how we've touched the lives of folk in so many different places in our world. the islands of the sea down there in Micronesia, and Kiribati and Kosai and Chuuk and so on, right across the African continent and through India, Eastern and Central Europe and Brazil. Oh, it's been incredible. Been incredible. All I'm asking you to do on Mothering Sunday and on Mother's Day is be Phoebe. Be a Phoebe to this church, to this generation that they've gone out to their classes, and to this community, and to this world, from this place where God has put us. Would you do that?
Father,
help us to mean what we've just sung together, but take your people from this place and make them just like Phoebe, helping the church, helping leadership, helping anywhere and everywhere. A great help to many people, including me. God bless you. The Lord bless you, keep you, make his face shine on you, be gracious to you, and lift the light of his countenance upon you. May you receive this word this morning and find in its exercise a blessing unparalleled and unknown in any other way, so that you, in the week to come, will be a blessing to those you meet day in and day out. Receive it in Jesus' name. Amen.